5 years ago, the Black Keys were worried their blues-tinged rock music was too mellow. So this time around, they did something about it. That's from their new album, El Camino. A summer release of covers titled Rave On Buddy Holly just got a Grammy nod, Best Pop Duo Performance for the song Dearest. Singer-guitarist Dan Auerbach and drummer Patrick Carney join us from Nashville, their new hometown. Gentlemen, welcome.
Hey.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
So the song we're listening to is called Lonely Boy, which is the first song on the record. How did that song come together, and what was the sound that you were trying to achieve?
This is Dan. I'm sure we were listening to, like, Johnny Burnett Trio, rockabilly stuff, Cramps. We just came up with that intro riff, and I think we just started playing that. That's how we made this whole record. We would just get together in the room, drums and guitar, and just start improvising. You know, if something caught our ear that we liked, we would try to build on that. You know, by the end of the day, we had a song done.
And it does have a live feel. I mean, it definitely sounds like you're in the same room together. I know that sounds really silly, but I know a lot of recording is done piecemeal.
Yeah, no, for this record, every song there's a live guitar and drums to give it that live feel, you know, to give it that kind of human element. There's no playing to click tracks or anything like that. So tempos may speed up or slow down slightly, but I think it only adds to the part of music that I think Pat and I are drawn to, which is that, you know, rough and sort of not so perfect.
There's a really lovely track called Little Black Submarines that sounds a lot like a kind of an old-fashioned country story ballad.
Little black submarines operate up, please put me back on the line.
So the song starts off like this kind of quiet story, and then it blossoms into, I don't know, metal.
We prefer erupts.
Okay. That's true. That doesn't sound very rock and roll. All right. It erupts into
there you go. That sounds much
big
better.
Kind of, I don't know, I want to be in the stadium when this moment comes and the lighting guy gets to go crazy.
We want to be in the stadium when that happens also. We haven't played any of them. We've been kind of chomping at the bit to play them. So much fun.
Treasure maps, falling trees, operator. Call me back when it's time. Stolen friends and the scenes, operator. Please pass me back to my mind. Oh, can it be? The voice is calling me. They get lost and out of time.
You once said that the more time you spend on a song, the worse it gets, and that the group's about simplicity. And what was it like trying to stay true to that now that you had more at your disposal and could kind of create more complicated sound?
This is Patrick, by the way. We still try to avoid spending too much time on any particular song. We realize that it does negatively affect the song if you overthink it. But for this album, we did spend longer in general making the album.
Yeah, but it's just long for us, which is not long for a normal major label record. Yeah,
does that mean a couple weeks or a couple?
We spent about 40 days in the studio. And
wow.
We were still doing about a song a day, but we would do different approaches. Say a song like Little Black Submarines, we spent maybe 4 days working on that song, but we ended up with about 5 completely different takes of the song. Different tempos, different arrangements.
So is there an all-metal version of Little Black Submarine somewhere?
No,
or like
not. See, maybe if it was 1971, you could classify the end as metal, but the end of Little Black Submarine is kind
of... Yeah, more, maybe it is more of a Blossom.
Yeah, it sounds like the theme song to Blossom.
You both produce music for other bands, and I remember reading once, I think it was Dan, that said that studios can be a disservice for bands. I wanted to ask you what you meant by that and sort of what your approach is to producing as a result.
Well, I mean, we had such bad experiences when we first started out. You know, they wouldn't let us touch any of the equipment, and it was just, it's kind of, it just sucked.
It can be difficult, especially if you're a young band and don't know how to communicate properly with an engineer and don't actually know what you want. And I think when we were first starting out making records in our basement, that was kind of what our problem was. We couldn't describe the sounds we wanted. And people that have good taste usually are in demand and therefore are expensive. So we reverted to just working in like our practice space or in one of our basements to make records. And that's how we became kind of addicted to recording music. And it was born out of necessity, basically.
Talk a little bit about the sound of this song, Hell of a Season. I felt like I heard a little bit of The Clash and rock, and I know people think of you guys as a blues heavy duo.
Yeah, no, we were definitely listening to The Clash in that one. The guitar parts are jagged guitar stabs. Although, I think it was sort of like a Steve Cropper thing first.
Yeah, all, I mean, what know, it's
this
not...
Whole music is all a big circle. When we were starting out, we wanted our recordings that we did in the basement to sound like they were produced by RZA from Wu-Tang. And we didn't really understand why we loved his music so much. And it, most of his samples were like old Stax records and old Willie Mitchell high recordings, you know. And we didn't even get, you know, the whole, it's just one big circle, American music.
On your last album, I mean, was huge, and you guys had these giant crowds. And I was reading, Patrick, that you at one point felt kind of overwhelmed by this. Being in these...
I mean, yeah, it's weird. It was weird for me because we've been doing this for a decade and kind of felt like there was a little bit of a sea change where it wasn't like we were, you know, kind of underdogs anymore. People were kind of coming to the shows and expecting stuff. I got a little bit wigged out. But then I realized that I shouldn't let, like, 16-year-old kids make me nervous.
Patrick Carney and Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. They joined us from Nashville. Thank you both so much for talking with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
You can hear songs from El Camino at nprmusic.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Audie Cornish.